the commercializing of Mother's Day at the end of her life. You know, in America today, we spend $2 billion on flowers. $1.5 billion in pampering gifts. $68 million in gift cards. But all she wanted was to honor the sacrifice of the mother's love. And the Bible says that a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to even stand before your people, Lord. I humble my heart, my mind towards you, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. That every spoken word that will bring out of my mouth will bring glory to your precious name and bring honor to you, Father. Father, I thank you for our moms, our mothers, Lord, who gave so much of themselves and pamper us and nourish us and fed us, Lord, and even changed those dirty pampers. Even at the time I was a kid, it was cloth, Lord. Father, I just thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Today in my message, we'll revisit the woman of the Bible who sacrificed for their children. And we'll begin with Eve in Genesis. But before I go there, in Genesis 3:20, the Bible says that God created the whole earth and all what's in it. And the Bible says that he created man out of the ground of the earth. It says he breathed life into him. And he became a living being. And God placed man in the Garden of Eden to till the ground. And he saw that man was lonely. And God began to create all the animals and the birds. And he allowed Adam to name them. But God saw that there was not a comparable companion for Adam. And the Bible says that he put a deep sleep upon man and removed a rib. Now that the rib, he created woman. And then Adam, they lived in the garden until the temptation came and the fall of man came. And the Bible says that God set an angel, the cherubims, to guard the garden that man would not come. Because God says they're like us. They know the knowledge of good and evil. And he put them out. And it said that the angel had a sword, a flaming sword, and he would turn in each direction to protect the entrance of the garden. And then God created woman and made a companion. In Genesis 3, chapter 20, it says that Adam called his wife Eve. Because she was the mother of all living things. Also, Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunic of skin and covered them. We begin to see the redemption story in that God, they sin against God and disobey him, but he clothed them. It speaks about the redemption story that's coming through the Son of God and Jesus Christ. Because when God called Adam, they hid themselves and took leaves and tried to cover themselves because of their shame. Before the fall, there was no shame. The Bible said they walked in their nakedness. But after the fall, they hid themselves from God. And God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and I hid myself." And God said that you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he blamed Eve and said, the wife you gave me, make me eat. Just like men, right? Things don't go right, I blame my wife. Hallelujah. So then the woman, God says, what have you done? And she says, it wasn't me, it was the serpent that made me eat. But God in his grace, mercy, clothed them. And we begin to read in verse 22, then the Lord God, behold, man has become like one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he be put out of his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, will live forever. Therefore God sent them out of the garden of Eden to till the ground for which he was taken. So he drove out man and placed cherubim on the east of the garden of Eden and the flaming sword, which turned in every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In chapter 4, it begins to tell us a story that Eve conceived. In verse 1, it says, Eve conceived. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And said, I have acquired a man of the Lord. So she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in time, in the processed time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of ground to the Lord. And Abel brought a first offering of his firstborn flock and their fat to the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord respected Abel's offering, but he did not respect Cain's offering. And it says that Cain became very angry, and the countenance of his face fell. And God says to Cain, if you would have done well, it would have been well with you. And he says, sin is always behind the door. But then as we read the story, Cain committed murder and killed his brother. We begin to see the story of the moms who had lost their sons and Eve in the beginnings of creation. Those moms who gave their sons and daughters for the sacrifice of this country in wars in the past. And those moms who lost their children. I work with a lady, and I won't mention her name. And she lost her youngest son. And I remember her. And remember, gave me remembrance of Rachel, who cannot be comforted because of the loss of the children. In the Gospel of Luke, when they gave the order to kill all the children under two, it says that Rachel cannot be comforted. And that woman could not be comforted. And I would see her day in and day out, come on. And her countenance was down. You could see the suffering of the mother of the loss of a child. And sometimes people say we get over it in 2 years. Some people say we get over it in 5 years. No. I think a mother never gets over it. No. I've seen her suffer for 12 years. Not be comforted. For 12 years. And finally she became to that place of realization, he's not here no more. And I would see her leave lunchtime with buckets of water to go to the cemetery to water the flowers. Every day. Every day. I saw this woman for 12 years taking her lunchtime to go water her flowers for her son. A sacrifice of a mother's love. I want to look at Moses' mother. Moses' mother and the daughter of the Pharaoh linked, but yet separate. One gave up her child to save the child, and one took the child despite of the risks. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. A man of the house of Levi took as a wife the daughter of a Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. Because there was a decree that went out from the Pharaoh. Because the woman was more fertile. Can I say that? Fertile? Fertile. The Jewish woman more than the Egyptian woman. So they were multiplying by numbers. And the Pharaoh was concerned that they will outgrow the Egyptian and take over his country. So he told the midwife, every Jewish male son to be put to death. But because the midwife feared the Lord so much, and the multiplication continued, the Pharaoh said to him, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Before we get there, the kid is birthed." But God honored them for protecting that child. But Moses' mom gave birth and to protect her own son, that sacrificed love that she had for her son. She looked at him and said he was a beautiful child. And she hid him for 3 months. And verse 3, but when she could no longer hide him, she took the ark of a bulrush for him and dabbed it with asphalt and pitch and put the child in it and laid it inside the reeds by the riverbanks. And his sister stood from afar to know what will happen to him. But the daughter of the Pharaoh came to bathe at the river, and her maids walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And before the child was wept, so she had a compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew child." Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter, in verse 8, said to her, "Go." And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take away the child, nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child, nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him back to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." I said earlier that Moses' mother and the daughter of the Pharaoh was linked, but yet separate. One gave up her child to save her child, the other one took the child despite of his wrists, her wrists. Sometimes a mom will have to make difficult choices. And I honor those moms who have a child, and because of the sacrifice love, she gives the child away, like Moses' mom did. These young women who become pregnant and cannot keep that child. And she gives that child away out of that sacrificed love, that he will have a better home, better parents to take care. And I honor those women today because they choose life over abortion. I honor those women today as Moses' mom did, that she gave her son that he may have life. A sacrifice of a mother's love. Amen. Hallelujah. And I would say to the mother who took the child and gave it for abortion, our hearts is with you today and we honor you this day. I'm going to share about Hannah. Hannah desired a child. And the story of Hannah is one of the most inspiring mothers in the Bible. Although her story is not well known, despite years of patience and prayer, she remained unable to have a child. And one day in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And God answered her prayer at last. But Hannah's character truly shone when she, in gratitude to God, she dedicated her newborn son to the service, to his service. Her son one day will become one of Israel's great prophet in 1 Samuel verse 8 and 18. Hannah gave that love a sacrifice of her son back to the Lord for the service of God. And he became one of the greatest prophets in the history of Israel. Mom sacrificed their kids for the service of God. I began and I gave my life to Christ. I remember coming home with joy and said, "Mom, I'm a born-again Christian." And she said, "You're not a born-again Christian, you're Catholic." I said, "Mom, I'm a born-again Christian." She gave her son for the sacrifice for the work of the service. She didn't know it yet. And she struggled with that. And when I came, I was excited about being baptized. I said, "Mom, they're going to baptize me on Monday." And she said, "You've been baptized already. Why are you going to baptize yourself the second time?" She sacrificed her son for the service of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to visit Sarah this morning, the wife of Abraham. Sarah is one of the greatest monarchy of the Bible. Yet she did not become a mother until very late in life. In fact, her reaction to God's promise that she will have a son was to laugh. The Bible said that Sarah laughed. And they asked her, "Why does Sarah laugh?" And that's recorded in Genesis 18. But nevertheless, she gave birth to her son. And her lineage will include Jesus Christ himself. I can always see Sarah at an older age in Walmart in the baby's department picking out clothes. Just imagine that. At her age, picking clothes in Walmart. But the promise of the God is amen. Yes and amen. Paul said this morning, nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Let us visit Elizabeth. The Bible says that Elizabeth was a godly woman who was righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's command, blameless, and yet she and her husband were not able to conceive a child. But God answered her prayer, and she gave birth to John the Baptist. But perhaps the best known for her prophetic encouragement of a young woman. A young woman who was fighting. Mary. When Mary came to her, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child that you bear. But why I find favor that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That really touched me. "Why should I find favor that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth said. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears," Elizabeth said, "as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Hallelujah. Blessed is she who believes that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Blessed are you who believe that the Lord will fulfill his promise to each one of you. Let us visit Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Perhaps no more famous mother sis than Mary, who at a young age learned from an angel that she will give birth to the long-awaited Messiah. Her song of praise and response, an all-well-known event of Christ's birth. Usually when that springs up in our mind, when we think of Mary, we think of the birth of Christ. I can see Mary, the role as a mother that brought her grief as well as joy. We can only imagine what she was going through to witness the crucifixion of her son upon that cross. The joy she must have when the angel announced it to her. She said, "Let it be unto me as you spoke." The joy of raising Jesus through those years, nourishing him. When she came to the temple, and I'm trying to remember his name. Simon was at the temple. And when he saw the child come in, he blessed her and said that he will bring joy to the people of Jerusalem, Israel, salvation to them and salvation to the Gentile. But then he said to her, "He will pierce your heart." I can imagine her picking up Jesus as a child when he fell, nourishing him like a mother's love does, feeding him like a mother does, love does. But to stand before that cross and seeing her son being crucified for all of us in the Gospel of John 19, verse 25. "Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled it, the sponge, with sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The sacrifice of the love of the mother, seeing her son being sacrificed for each one of us. The love she had, the pain she was going through, that her son gave her life, his life, for each one of us. That we may receive him as our personal Savior. In the Bible, there are famous moms. There are many more famous moms described in the Bible. Many of them righteous, some not so righteous. But all used by God to bring about his design. And today we give thanks for the mothers of our lives. In my own personal life, when my father came to this country, there was three of us, and he only had one job, to support his family. But my mother will always, in her sacrificed love, she would nourish us. She will make sure that the dinner table was ready every night when the food pantry didn't have too much to eat. She would set a table and it looked like a banquet to me. Every night, she would save money. So when the ice cream tart come around, she would have that money to get an ice cream for her kids. Amen. Mother's love, the mother's sacrifice. Amen. One day I came home and I told this story before a while back. There was a little boy in my class and he had his name written on the pencil. I didn't get to see it. I saw him sharing it with the other kids. I come home, I said, Mom, this little boy in my class had a name on his pencil. And she took a pencil and carved my name in it. Praise the Lord. A mother sacrificed love. It didn't matter his was printed in or had an order special. It didn't matter to me. She carved my name in it. That's a mother's sacrificed love. She was very disciplined. She disciplined us. But she was a woman, fearing woman of God. She would make sure we was on that bus to go to Sunday school. She instilled in us to fear the Lord. As a young boy, my brother and my sister. They would take us out to Plattekill in a Spanish little Pentecostal church on the hillside to teach us the Bible. Amen. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old. Amen. Amen. And I'm reminded about Timothy's grandmother and his mother, that they instilled the faith in him. And that's what mothers do. Amen. They nourish their kid, instill the fear of the Lord. As they're being raised, that they will be men of God, women of God, to serve. And the mother sacrificed love. Amen. And today we want to honor our mother. And I have a video to show you in the honoring of a woman here, our mother's here. Amen. Even the woman of God. Amen. And I will ask him to turn on that video now. Amen. The title of the video is Mothers Are Like Jesus. She feeds us. She comforts us. She clothes us. She teaches us. Jesus come for us. He teaches us His word. He reaches out with His right hand. He dresses us in righteousness. That's a beautiful video. At this time, we want to honor our mothers. And this year, I choose to give you a rose. Because I know carnation is traditional. And I want to thank all the men that was here yesterday, and they helped me. They helped me to clean around the church and clean the back and the deck in the back all around the church. And there was some man putting those roses together. And I want to thank every man that was here yesterday. Amen. Praise God. May I ask you to please all stand? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, what greater love no man has given us but you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us that perfect gift for salvation. And we thank you, Lord, as we celebrate Mother's Day here in the United States and throughout the world, that we honor them and we want to give them thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice love for each one of us, Lord. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray a blessing over each woman in this congregation. I pray a blessing upon them, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit. That you will cover them under the shadow of your wing. That you surround your presence around them. That you will guide every step, Father. That you will just anoint them to the task ahead. To being a wife. To being a mother. To being a best friend. To hold the hand of a co-worker in need. Give her the words and anoint her, Father. Anoint our moms. Anoint our women in this congregation. For the service to bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.